Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio. It's time now for Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. And we're doing a call-in this morning because Dr. George has to head out of town for a couple of days. So we welcome her calling in and look forward to talking to her in more detail about Obamacare. And as you said, as we were just before the show started, it's reality, and reality is going to hit everybody. So good morning, Dr. George.
Good morning, Dave. How?
Oh, I'm doing okay. You doing all right?
Well, I mean, it's not, because seeing how everything's beginning to unfold with Obamacare, I hate to say that I think that my predictions are coming true. Been making them for the last 2 or 3 years, and it's just terrible how medicine is unfolding. But folks are just now getting a taste of what's really going to come down the pipe. The first thing was this increase in taxes. You know, we had the Medicare rate go back to where it was a few years back, but that's only the beginning of the taxes that are going to come online. And the IRS passed a rule yesterday, or I think it became law yesterday, that the people who work part-time, you know, are now going to be counted as two part-time people are going to be as full-time people. So there's no way that employers are going to get away from paying for Obamacare. This is all designed to capture every, you know, warm body that they can to pay into this system, this new tax system. And, you know, ultimately, I think people are going to fire their workers where they were going to have a part-time job, you know, in the past, nothing's going to get them just to go under the 50-employee mark. I mean, unless they're going to think that you can't fire anybody, but that's something that Atlas shrugged.
You know, the hardship that it's going to put on everybody is just becoming apparent. And I heard a story 2 days ago about folks had gotten their first paychecks. And, you know, wait a second, this is wrong. This is $10 short. This is $20 short. Hello, they're finally seeing what that 2% will do to their paycheck that's going to Social Security now. So, you know,
that's the beginning.
That's just the beginning, exactly. So
I gave one of my workers a raise, and then I asked the payroll, you know, how much would that need be now in take-home? And it was horrible. I had to give her a raise just so she was a few bucks more than what she would have had, you know, Obamacare kicked in, you know, without me doing the help. It's just a disaster. I mean, and the sad big part is the people who voted for this, the middle-class folks, are going to get hit the hardest. It didn't affect Warren Buffett. It didn't affect, you know, the rich at all. The same people who were calling for, oh, I need to be taxed more. It's not fair that I don't get enough. Get special dispensation, GE, for example. Got special privileges in this new fiscal cliff bill, if you want to call it that, to keep their money overseas and not get penalized for it. So they don't have to do what we do. This is a two-tier system where if you're a friend, you have different privileges than if you're an ordinary citizen. By race baiting and class baiting, they helped us, you know, hurt ourselves, basically.
Dr. George, do you feel like in your employees' case and just generally across the board that this is going to help people wake up maybe?
Well, I think people are angry now. People are shocked that their paychecks have decreased. It's like they were living in some sort of la-la land thinking that it was going to be sweetness and light. You know, this and the new laws that are getting passed in New York. My favorite is this station by the mayor in New York that pain medicine hospitals needs to be rationed so that you get a certain number of pain pills if you're in pain. And he goes, well, people just have to suffer a little bit. The attitude, I don't know. I'm about to head to New York, so I don't know what it's going to be like there, but I think New Yorkers, I would hope, are at a point they stand up and go, enough. What else do you want to take from us, you know? It's just this complacency, which is disconcerting.
Como signed into law last night a new gun law on top of the gun laws that they already had in New York State. He added more to it yesterday, or last night, as a matter of fact. It's just amazing. And you said something a few seconds ago. The arrogance of our president is just beyond me. A couple of days ago, it wasn't during his news conference. This was something else that he was doing. But he looks straight into the camera and says, "Well, you know, Benghazi, it was only four people. I'm sorry, but it was only four people."
Wow.
And I sat there on the edge of my couch, and I didn't know what to do.
Where was this? I don't even see this televised.
Wow. Yeah, it was on Fox. That's basically, if I have to watch the news, and it was startling. And then yesterday he made another statement in his news conference. He was going to get his way. That if Congress thought they were going to make him cut any spending items, they were crazy. You know, it was going to be his way as far as the budget goes, assuming we ever have a budget. It's just the profound and profane arrogance is just absolutely astonishing. And, you know, he knew and his people knew exactly what they were doing when they raised, and the only way you can say it, they raised taxes. Obamacare is raising taxes. Social Security going up. Hello, folks. And transparency is at its all-time low.
Oh, now if you ask a question, you're just shut down. It's not even if anybody's going through the motions of listening to grievances from the country. They just totally ignore you. When you have Chicago's mayor and New York's mayor calling for the government to just bypass for the executive branch to bypass Congress, just forget them. Just do what you want and forget the people. I mean, at one point, the mayor from Chicago just said, forget what people want. Don't listen to them. It's shocking. I mean, I can't believe I'm listening to the rhetoric and not a peep out of anybody, nobody in the media making any statements about how over-the-top and outrageous that is. And it's an all-out assault on citizens, on the Constitution. I don't think anybody can sit there and say that it isn't. And the people on the far left are speaking as if the Constitution it should be gone. I mean, I've heard this come out of, who was it, Sanjay Gupta's mouth, not Sanjay Gupta, but Fareed Zakaria's mouth. New York Times has stated, we don't need the Constitution anymore. I mean, it's just been this mantra of it's racist, it's out of date, we shouldn't have it anymore. Well, what do they expect to replace it with? I'm curious.
Well, I think they expect to replace it with their own thinking, and they don't need it. They'll just do everything from the hip. It was like like Kagan being confirmed to the Supreme Court, and she's been she has protested the Constitution for years. Even when she was at Harvard, she said the Constitution was old and worn out. You know, personally, I'm ready to go back verbatim to the Constitution and live under it, verbatim.
Well, of all the articles of that are the underpinnings of countries in this world, this is the one I'd rather live under. Certainly wouldn't be France's law where you're guilty until proven innocent. It wouldn't definitely be China or Russia or anything else like that. I mean, this is when it's followed and it's lawfully abided. The Constitution is the protection. It's protection against being taken advantage of and being made into a slave. And this whole gun control argument, besides being calling out anybody who owns a gun as some sort of ghoul, wants children to die, which I think is totally over the top, but that's out of the Lynch playbook, which is to demonize your enemy. Make them such a monster that they can't argue back. And we need to stop being nice about it and being how can I put it? It's like people to be to get along and not to make waves. And in this case, it's detrimental, and it's going to help them take more advantage of us and ruin the country further. Because if someone calls you a name, a racist, a sexist, instead of not speaking or cowering, you should give them space. And, I mean, I don't know if Piers Morgan this past week, but a couple of guests really handled him well. Between the Breitbart editor and also the talk show host Alex Jones, they gave him back better than he gave them, and he just shut down. He couldn't handle it. And that's what people need to do. You know, get in with facts. Stop being a victim. Stop just taking what people are trying to throw at you. The fact that Bloomberg would have the nerve to say that people he controls, the medical care of people, he decides whether you're in pain or not. And not one doctor that I saw, I could be wrong, stood up and said, are you kidding me? How dare you? Not one. No hospital, nothing. But it's all about money. I mean, I just found out yesterday that the government is giving hospitals money. That, you know, this flu shot mantra, if everybody needs a flu shot, is tied to government money. So hospitals, by the government recommendations, hospitals should have over 80%, 90% of their employees vaccinated, and it's tied to them getting government money. Now I understand why it's this big to-do. You have to get a flu shot. They throw people off staff. They fire people because they won't get government money because of it. It's all driven by that. It's sick, and it's wrong, and it's going against the Hippocratic Oath. It's going against personal freedom. I personally will leave a hospital staff if I'm made to take a flu shot. I mean, it's a whole other conversation about that nonsense, but it's a complete, it's a scam.
Yeah,
everything's a vaccine all of a sudden.
Let's take a break here and come back and talk about the flu shot. I've got some questions about it, and you're on top of it. You know what's going on. So I'd like to talk to the audience about it. We'll be back right after this break.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know skipping doses of medication can be dangerous? If you have a chronic medical condition like diabetes or high blood pressure, it's important to take the medication prescribed by your physician. It is also important to remember that although you take a medicine to treat a condition, it is not a cure for the underlying medical condition. It is used to control it. For example, taking medication for diabetes will lower your blood sugar. However, if you stop taking the medication, the sugar will rise again. Changes in both diet and lifestyle, like adding exercise to your routine, are equally important. Working with your physician by following his or her recommendations is the key to controlling your disease and maintaining your health. Ask questions if you don't understand something. Taking control of your health is the key to wellness. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. And as we went to break, we were just talking, or Dr. George was talking about this flu vaccine. And I guess my question is, obviously here at the station, we've had some people that have had to cancel their shows or have been out because of the flu, and some mm-hmm. have been, you know, this seems to be a very serious strain of, depending on which strain you get, it seems to be pretty serious. But it's very interesting. The other day, and I think people are going to think all I do is watch TV. It's just a matter that this happened to be on Sunday morning, and I was watching, and, you know, out of one side of a doctor's mouth came, mm-hmm. well, it seems that this vaccine is only somewhere in the neighborhood of about 60% effective. And then out of the other side of his mouth, he said, but everybody should rush out right now and get a flu shot. And I'm saying, wait a second. If I'm only going to get a 60% chance that it might work, and, you know, we're saying, I don't know if I'm so cynical today, Dr. George, that I'm not sure I believe what anybody says on television, or certainly anything that comes out of the White House. What are you seeing? Is it as serious across the country as they're making it out, or is this just all another perpetuation to, like you said, make pharmacies rich or pharmaceuticals rich and peddle a product that's really not effective?
Let's go back to the corporate side of vaccines. I can't remember. It's probably about 15 years ago, in the late 90s, there was a shortage of vaccines. No one could get a flu shot. Nobody could get, you know, they were basically running out of measles and all sorts of vaccinations, the raw materials for them to make them, because the pharmaceutical companies didn't think that it was cost-effective. They were not making any money on them, so they stopped really caring about it. Then the government under Bush passed the law that a vaccine maker could no longer be sued for injuries that people sustained because of taking their vaccines. But then literally, by Congress, you had to go through a vaccine court, and of course, nobody really got convicted in that, and damages were minimal, if anything. And then there was an explosion in vaccine production, and it's gone completely insane since then. So it's not only flu, it's now the whooping cough vaccine and the chickenpox vaccine most recently. They're coming up with a smallpox vaccine, which is not even tested. The H1N1 vaccine, if you recall that was a couple years ago. People really still weren't really getting them. I mean, some schools started mandating that children get them, and by the way, that's illegal, and schools cannot force you to get vaccinated, nor can hospitals. And they use this intimidation factor. You can't put your child in school. If you're a doctor, you have to wear a mask if you're lucky, or you just get fired. A nurse recently got fired because of it. So now it's become a political club used against patients and parents and children. And, you know, the Gardasil vaccine, I forget about that one. It's a huge one, where they were making young children, young girls, get vaccinated for a disease that only affects about 4,000 people yearly. I think there's 4,000 deaths from it. A majority of the patients actually clear without any medical intervention at all. And if you do get pap tests yearly, the cure rate is like 98%. So they're forcing this fear factor on everybody. It's the same playbook. First it was you're going to get HPV and die, where most people don't. And that vaccine only covered a few of the strains, not all of them. So it really wasn't all that effective in the first place. And you've got now children getting over 100 vaccinations by the time they're five. And by the time they're nine or 10, it's just like almost 200 vaccinations. That's a lot. I mean, I think I got three or four growing up. Now it's just an explosion. We've seen autism increase. We've seen asthma increase. We've seen people get sicker. And we can go into vaccines in more detail in a second. That's the overview. But it's not all cracked up to be what they're saying it is. And the flu vaccine is only about 9% effective, not 60. So that wasn't actually a true quote that the doctor gave. And it's like a mafia. If patients, especially pediatric patients, if the parents decide they don't want to give their children a vaccine, they're kicked out of pediatric practices. I think in some instances, Department of Children's Services have been called on parents because of their neglect of their child. It's just unbelievable. And it's the history of vaccines. If you look back at the polio vaccine, they inserted monkey leukemia viruses, or it was cultured in monkey leukemia viruses, which when you do that, you actually have transfer of DNA. And so back in the day when people were getting polio vaccines, if you look at that cohort of patients now, there's a huge cancer rate that's increased because of people who got the polio vaccine back in the 50s. So there's and the person who created it spoke about it. It's online if you look it up. And to me, those things, to me, I don't see a reason that I'm going to put my body at risk for a vaccine that has toxic ingredients within it, not only mercury, but MSG, different parts of viral DNA and bacterial DNA. Are you kidding me? Why on earth would I do that? And it's all about revving up the immune system. So we've seen from the time, I talked about this a lot, from the time I graduated, the disease rate has just gone through the roof. Autism was like 1 in 250,000. It's now 1 in 11 or 1 in 8, some crazy number. Breast cancer was 1 in 14. It's now 1 in 8. You've got Alzheimer's going crazy. You've got, just the population is so much sicker. And there was actually, not to digress, but a show last night on Nightline that talked about how people living on a farm, a family who wasn't exposed to all these vaccines and antibiotics and cleanliness that we all are getting thrown at us, are less likely to get ill if they're exposed to their cows and their farm animals or their pets. Their immune system's actually better. So with all of this vaccine, what we're doing is we're training the immune system to not work properly. Either it's on crazy and it starts to attack itself with autoimmune diseases, or you're just a waste station for whatever's going to come at you. So what I really want to know, this is a question I think needs to be asked about this supposed flu epidemic. How many of those people actually got a flu shot? That's what I really want to know.
Yeah. Let me ask something, and you sort of skimmed past it or threw it out there a little bit. How long, if I'd gone and gotten a flu shot any time, say, in the last couple of years, or say, just this year, how long does that flu shot and whatever's in that flu shot, which a lot of us are not real sure about, how long does that last in my system? You know, everybody assumes, well, it's only good through February or not February, but May or April, June, July, when the flu season's over with. But how long in reality does it really last?
Well, the vaccines that are given for flu last about a year, according to what we've been told. So that's the coverage for the viral portion, but the ingredients within them, once they're in your system, they're there. You put in mercury, that's going to change or affect your neurological system. It can affect enzyme reactions. It can get into the brain and, I'm sure, cause issues with nerve conduction and transmission and just damage cells directly. It's a toxin. It's a heavy metal toxin. And when I know we talked about this before, when the mercury thermometers used to be available and you break them, you need a hazmat in the truck to come and clean that. And imagine injecting any of that into your system. It boggles the mind. And I don't understand why they won't take it out of the vaccines. The Academy of Pediatricians came out and said that they thought that mercury was okay, which you just wonder who's running this system. And what are they, what's their ultimate agenda? Because it's not hell. No matter what they keep saying about it, it's like up is down, left is right, and they're lying right in your face and telling you that there's nothing to see here, move along. And you can't tell me that the disease rates going through the roof are just happening because they're happening. They're happening because we're eating things that are toxic. The government is, instead of telling you you can't get pain medicine, what they should be doing is figuring out what's in GMO foods, genetically modified foods. Why don't they allow them to be labeled so people can actually have a choice? Why don't they do studies? And they don't do studies. Gardasil, for example, was fast-tracked. It was never studied. And so they're telling you it's okay to inject this into your daughter, and now your son, without even being really studied from a nonpartisan lab, not the drug company doing the study or sponsoring it, but somebody without something to gain, somebody who's an innocent bystander who really would want to figure out, is this safe and does it work? You know, this is just across the board. It's, I talked about this before, but I'm seeing it completely unfold now. Corporate-driven medicine. It's being put into, it's put into compliance now. This is what doctors and nurses are being made to do, whether they like it or not. And I understand, too, that in certain states, if you refuse to take a flu shot, it goes against your medical record, like a mark, as if you've committed some sort of act against the patient. And that's, I'm just shocked that there are medical boards in that state. Well, I shouldn't be, because the medical boards don't work for doctors at this point. They are just there to be punitive, entities to keep those of us in line who have a free will and who really care about their patients. That's what it's come down to. And under Obamacare, electronic medical records is going to be the albatross. It's going to be the handcuffs that make sure that doctors follow what comes down from on high. And as this is unfolding, it's pretty clear that non-doctors are going to be making these rules. The fact that Bloomberg can get up there with impunity and say what he said means that they think that they are in control of everything. Healthcare system is now part of their overall collectivist system, where it's centralized planning. One Politburo makes the decisions for everybody, and if you don't like it, leave medicine, go to jail if you're a doctor, or, don't go into medicine at all. If you don't like it, tough. And they're making this in such a way that there's so few doctors that are going to be, there will always be doctors part of the system, but they're being summarily removed from direct patient care. It's administrative most of the time. It's basically co-signing what somebody who is less trained does for the patient. It's not going to be good.
Let's stop there, take a break, and we'll come back with more Medicine On Call right after
this. Have
you
heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that snoring can lead to chronic health problems? Snoring can be a sign of sleep apnea. Snoring is simply noisy breathing that can disturb those around you. However, sleep apnea is a serious condition that leads to a decrease in oxygen in the blood. The brain and the heart are two organs that depend on oxygen to function well. Studies have shown that a lack of oxygen at night leads to weight gain, problems with memory and concentration, depression, high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, and stroke. There are several ways to decrease snoring. For example, lose weight if you are overweight. Avoid alcohol at least 3 to 4 hours before bedtime. Stop smoking. Control nasal allergies to things such as dust and mold, and avoid eating dairy products such as milk and cheese. If you think you have sleep apnea, you should see a doctor to be evaluated. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
All right, we're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George, and we're talking about the mandates and... As we were off air for a moment, I brought up the point that the government could take the mercury out of all the vaccines that they want to give us and just put it in the light bulbs. And then when you break a light bulb at home, instead of getting out the broom and cleaning up the mess, the glass and so forth, you have to call Hazmat and tell them to come out and clean up your light bulb mess and the mercury that is on your floor. This whole thing is just crazy, isn't it?
It is crazy. I mean, it's like a mad person running a system, and instead of promoting health, you're promoting compliance, and you're, I think, increasing the level of disease and illness. And on the flip side of this, you're not really going to provide many more solutions to this. We're now about to kick in one of the Obama taxes on medical devices. That's going to change how folks are able to get innovative health care, 5% tax. So any equipment that I buy, any office-based equipment, I'm sure it's everybody, it's across the board, hospitals, everybody. But it's now going to be more expensive. Who's that going to hit? That's going to hit small practices first. They may stop buying equipment to do procedures in office, for example. That makes it cheaper for the patient, so they don't have to go to the hospital for major procedures because they can get it done in a cost-effective and timely manner. I've seen it already go in and affect small ambulatory surgery centers. They stop reimbursing for these locations to get paid for equipment. So it's a flat fee, you know, it's all rolled into one fee. And what they've done is they stopped carrying certain equipment that I need to perform procedures. And it's driving me to have to go to a hospital to do a procedure on a patient. Well, I can tell you that the cost for a patient in an office versus a surgery center versus a hospital, you're going from the least expensive to the exorbitant. And that means patients are going to be paying a lot more for their health care. And over time, and I see this, I've seen this since for many years now, and I don't think it's going to change. The doctors who are part of the hospital-based system have no incentive to be innovative. They're just collecting a paycheck. They're not going to give you the most, you know, minimally invasive, faster recovery time procedure because the hospital doesn't carry it, the equipment for it. And they have no interest in doing it. What's the difference if the patient gets better in 6 weeks versus 2 weeks? They're still going to just come in their 9-to-5 job and just get it done. No love for the profession. No entrepreneurial spirit to it. It's a combination. When innovation steps in and you're competing against another practice and you can offer faster, better, more cost-effective treatment, you're going to go for it. If it doesn't matter, you're not going to go for it. And ultimately, that damages medical care in this country. I think we're already losing the edge that we had compared to the rest of the world. This is where people wanted to come to get the best care. Now they're going to Thailand or India. It's a huge market. And it's really ironic. A lot of those doctors actually trained here because they want to practice medicine the way they trained to practice it. They're leaving and going back to their own countries.
Dr. George, may I interrupt you and talk about that training? I know that doctors have to continue to be updated and find out what the new research has found, find out this, that, and the other. But with this system, it's not only going to do away with the PCPs or the specialist doctors that are seeing the patients, but it's going to affect the people that you turn to for new ideas and new research, because they're going to be handcuffed as well. They're not going to want to. You'll have less and less researchers going into the field. Is that a correct statement that you know, you all sort of build on each other? A doctor builds on other doctors that you may be seeing patients and not have time to do. Obviously, you can't do everything. And isn't this the same scenario going to affect even the research doctors or the ones that have been the ones that have come out with creative ideas or new instruments or so on and so forth?
In a way, I think it's probably going to be centralized into, university settings. It already is, but more so, where the drug companies and I think you'll have winners and losers. And the companies and we've already seen that, they're buying each other. So it's a consolidation of medical device companies. And bigger is not better. That means you just get what they give you. whatever they decide is going to be available is what you get. And the hospitals are doing it. They're getting larger. They're becoming systems. They're now going to have their own insurance companies a lot of the time. And so once you enter the hospital system, you, again, as a patient, you have to take what they give you. If they don't cover a CT scan, where are you going to go? You can't use your Cigna or whatever little small insurance company that you have. You're in their hospital-based insurance company. And, of course, an insurance company's mindset is to collect your copay, your deductible, and not pay out, to pay out as little as possible, to begrudgingly give you, crumbs while they keep the lion's share of the money put in the pot. And with the government mandates now, they have to pay a little for, unfortunately, for things like birth control and abortions on one hand and, well visits on the other. But if you have something that you need, a new hip, or you need eye surgery, you really need medical care, not window dressing, they're going to deny you. You're too old. They're going to decide that your quality of life after, statistically, is not worth paying the money for. The rationing is in place. It is here already, and they're doing it. And they're also denying care or withholding care at end of life. Hospice is major. Euthanasia, soft euthanasia, where they just give you pain medicine. And no treatment, just drug you. That's already happening. And in England, this is just, it's called the Liverpool pathway. So they just withhold water and food from the patient until they die. And that's how they treat their folks there, children and senior citizens. Whatever happens in England seems to come here. But this is about globalized medicine. We're the last holdout, the last domino, the last country who has not joined this system. And they are hell-bent on getting us into this grid of healthcare. And it's not good. It's about waiting. It's about rationing. It's about draining you of all sorts of funds, but not giving you any better care. Actually, it's worse. And if you don't like it, tough.
And you don't see any congressmen signing up for it either, do you?
Are you kidding me? Well, they're never going to sign up for it. And they're the most disgusting people I've ever seen, because all they do is sit there and sign off on bills that they never read. They should be removed. That's your whole job, is to read a bill, to write it, to debate it, and to pass it. Not to sit there and say, oh, my good friend wrote the bill, and scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, or have some lobbyist come up there and whisper in your ear, and worse yet, write the entire bill, and you don't even read it, and you just sign off on it. It's amazing. And that's where we're at right now. And the flip side of this, I talked about the patient side, but the doctor side now is even worse. There's a case in Chicago of a vascular surgeon who is now sitting in jail for 10 months because of an error that he made on his operative report. Okay, Dave? Operative report. He didn't kill a patient. He didn't produce, he didn't do medical malpractice. He wasn't negligent. He made an error on it. Actually, he didn't make an error. His dictation of an op note was parsed by the government and competitors who wanted to see him out of business, who basically brought up Trump charges on the guy. And because the government gets to decide what you mean in your op note, they said that he was incorrect, that he made a false statement. Now, he was found innocent by the jury of committing fraud, but he's found guilty by the government of making a false statement on his op note. I'm done. I'm not going anywhere near Medicare, Medicaid. And any doctor who's listening to this needs to get out of the system as fast as they possibly can, because now it's open season on doctors. When the government gets to decide your dictation is not what you said it was, and they get to be the final arbiter of it because they want to get you out of business or they want to make an example of you so everybody else will fall in line, you know the game is over for docs. Now you're just, you know, grist for the mill, cannon fodder. And if you, you know, stick your head up, it's gonna get lopped off. That's what they're trying.
What?
It's just unbelievable.
What should I as a patient do in going to a new physician or looking for a physician? What should I look for? What should I ask when I go into your office?
The first thing you should ask, first of all, I would go to an independent physician. That means not an employee of a hospital, not part of a hospital, you know, care system. You know, they have this, under Obamacare, the hospitals now have ultimate power, and they have tentacles of their influence in the community as these satellite docs who are not necessarily on staff but part of the health system. They share medical records. They share treatment plans. That's a problem because you've now lost your autonomy as a patient to have you and your doctor make the decision. It's all algorithm-driven now. If you have heart disease, this is the workup you need. These are the medications you need to be on. They couch it as evidence-based medicine. It's really corporate-driven medicine where the pharmaceutical companies and the government are running your health decisions. So if it were me, the first thing I would do is make sure that my doctor is nowhere a part of that kind of system. The second thing I would do is to, you know, if you have... I talked about this in the past, but I would get an insurance plan that's got a high deductible and has as many options of seeing doctors as possible, so not an HMO or health maintenance plan, something called a PPO, where you have as many options as you can possibly have. So you get a high deductible plan, which means you'll be paying less per month. You'll have more out-of-pocket. But what you can do with an independent doctor, especially one like myself, and I have plenty of friends in Atlanta, where we can work with you. You know, you say, this is my budget. This is what I can afford to pay. And we make payment plans with each other, or arrangements with each other. So it's a flat rate in some cases. It's a discounted rate to pay at the time of service. All sorts of things. We have options to send you out to surgery centers that are a fraction of what the hospitals cost. We have radiology centers that we can send folks to, again, that are not part of the private base. Not part of the hospital, part of the free market system, who are all about competition. Healthy competition. Lower the price, better service. That's the name of the game. As soon as you enter the system of the government, it's slow down, crappy healthcare, one size fits all, and like it. It's ridiculous. I never heard of anybody wanting to pay more for worse service. Than this.
Let's stop here, take a break, and we'll be back with Medicine on Call.
At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, they provide better quality care. They believe that excellent medical care is a right and not a privilege. They are concerned that the current economy has forced people to sacrifice their health. They have therefore reduced their prices to make it more affordable. They will continue to provide state-of-the-art care. They continue to believe that patient care counts above all else. Peachtree ENT Center, concierge medicine without the concierge price. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment or for more information. They are located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest, Suite 260 North Tower, 2 blocks south of Piedmont Hospital.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
We're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George, and Dr. George is describing what we need to do as patients to not only look for the right physician, but also, I'd say, just in general, take better care of ourselves.
Well, you have to. My mantra to my patients is stay healthy, because you do not want to get sick. You just don't. And it starts with taking responsibility for your health. This is all about now not depending on someone to take care of you. I don't depend on the government to take care of me. It's not going to. It wants to take from me my health,
in fact,
wealth, everything.
The reality of it is, if you're over 55, they just assume you be dead as alive, because you're not going to be productive to them anymore. You're not going to be paying the tax bill.
That's exactly right. You now are just what they call a useless eater, is what they call you. You know, and that's what they think of us. Either you're a resource to be used, or you're useless, and they want to cull the herd so that they can. It's already bankrupt. So what do you do if you're out of money? You try to get less folks to use the services. You try to get more people to pay into this sieve, you want to call the healthcare system. And then you create a system where you've encouraged people to treat the seniors like dirt. I mean, everybody's going to be a senior citizen at some point. Does it really serve you to say withhold treatment from this group because they've already lived their lives and, you know, it's our turn now? Is that really appropriate? When you get to be 50, 55, 60, they're coming for you. And I understand this because I know how this is going to work. First you do the seniors. The next are going to be the preemies and the neonates because, hey, we don't know what they're – their lifespan is going to be, what they're going to be able to contribute to society. We spend most of the money. As soon as they get us into the mindset of it's okay to do this to the seniors, then it's the children. What are you going to do then? Then it's the people who, you know, who are colorblind. I mean, this is going to be arbitrary of the people that they start withholding treatment from or services from. This is what they think.
You know, and this is going to hit the babies born with Down syndrome and all this. How can a doctor that used to take a oath, how can a doctor say, well, you know, we missed this in prenatal care, so we didn't prescribe an abortion, so this baby was born with Down syndrome, put it over in the corner until it dies. Basically, that's
called the Liverpool pathway. That is called the Liverpool pathway in England, the UK. So they do it. They do it with impunity. And nobody says anything. Isn't anybody over there outraged? I think they're now doing an investigation on that pathway. But the fact that it went on for years and years and still is going on is just outrageous. And we're desensitizing ourselves to life. You know, it's a death culture at this point. It's glorified. From the T-shirts with skulls on them to all this, you know, it's okay, abortion, and that everybody should pay for it, and it's okay to do it. It's just, it's not okay, and everybody should have a choice. If you want to do that, then that's you, but it's between you and your conscience. But I don't think everybody should be made to pay for it. So they've lied from the get-go. Oh, the government will never pay for termination of the pregnancy. Yeah, well, they're doing that, and they're paying for... It's like a right. It's a choice, not a right, right? So ultimately, we've got the government deciding what's ethical, what's moral, And if you have an objection to it, just like a flu shot, tough. Get in line or don't do it at all. You won't be allowed to be in the system if you're a physician. And if you're a tax-paying American, tough. If you have a moral conscience or it's against your religion, for whatever thing, whatever reason you don't want to do it, tough. We're going to take it anyway. That's just outrageous. And if we don't have consensus, then we're just going to do an executive order and go around you. I mean, it's there's no rule of law anymore in the country.
And with that, you know, life has become, you know, I once said, I think it was in our conversation, that everybody should be with someone that dies. And the feeling of absence after a person takes their last breath. And, you know, I think too many people, life is no longer has a purpose or no longer seems to matter to people. You die, okay, well, it was only four in Benghazi, so no big deal.
You know, you can even go further. Not only the four in Benghazi, but all those drone attacks. How many children were killed? How many innocents died? We don't even have a count of the numbers of people that this has happened to. We're so turned off and tuned out to it. And, you know, it's like it's a video game.
And then you add all of the abortions this past year. The numbers are incredible. I don't know. Is the answer not a medical answer, but a moral and ethical and religious answer? Do you think that could be the answer?
Yes, and I think it starts from family, you know, from actually having your family be the source of your comfort and your care and your survival and not the government. The government has now become the head of the household. For how many people on the government, various government programs, that's who runs their household. Going to the mailbox to get their next check and jumping through hoops. And those that are on the system who think that they're getting something are going to be the first ones that are totally taken advantage of. As soon as they get you on the grid, they start withdrawing. So you may get a pretty decent amount of money now, but the check is going to dwindle. And if you're in New York, Michael Bloomberg is giving you the template. You're not going to be able to buy what you want with it because the nanny state decides what you get to eat, drink, you know, probably how you live with this, you know, Agenda 21 and these little modules, like, what's it, 200 square feet?
Yeah.
That's what they want to build units at. So you're living in a cubbyhole, basically just subsisting, where the government has full control. As soon as you lose control of your own destiny, then what's the point? Because the government could care less. They're about shooting you up with vaccines, putting you in schools where you learn absolutely nothing, where you can't even have enough tools emotionally, economically, to support yourself. That's not living. And I don't feel that I want the government to do that for me.
If you've got a country like that, and you've got one person, Obama, or you've got whoever it is that's in charge at that point, what have they got other than a bunch of zombies? I mean, what? You know,
that's a good point.
You know, I like the idea of everybody having an opportunity, and those that want to succeed can succeed, and they're the ones that will become entrepreneurs. They're the ones that will become the research scientists that will keep everybody on top of the world instead of everybody being mowed under. And this is the thing. Yeah, I don't know if you and I talked about this, but I keep trying to get a handle on, okay, so you've got all the sheep. You decide which sheep goes to slaughter today. But mm-hmm. then in reality, what do you really have, and who's controlling all of this? And I people have pointed their fingers at me and think I'm totally nuts, but I'm not sure that anything in the White House or in Congress or anything else is smart enough to put all this. You know, I think this is Satanism because if you had all of this, then what have you got? Nothing.
You don't. What you have is somebody being a puppet master. And the Congress is 500-plus people in the Congress who could care less.
They're worthless.
Maybe there's a couple in there that actually put their hand on that Bible and say, I'm taking this oath that it means something to me. Maybe a couple. But there's so many bills that have passed in the last couple of years more than a couple years, that have just been counter to the Constitution. The NDAA is an example. The fact that we went to war with something based on what the UN said we should do.
Yeah.
You know, they tell us to deploy troops and we just jump. That's ridiculous. Now they're going to talk about gun control in March, and I'm a little bit afraid of this, that the Congress has fallen in line with these treaties without, you know, thinking about it and just going along. I would think that impeachment should be something that should have been on the table way back, you know, starting in the last administration. And nobody's going to talk about it, but they don't do anything because they don't want to do anything. Because I think they're waiting for the next cycle so they get in. The next, it's the same, they're both, it's a gang of Republicans and Democrats, and they're both just angling to see who's going to be on top this cycle. It's not about people anymore. It's not about the country. Because if they really cared, they would have never let it get to this point. And they would never let all these executive orders fly without questioning, without pulling the reins back on this situation. They don't care. The fact that the health care bill got passed is enough for me. That set the tone for the way the Congress and the Supreme Court is likely to work against the American people.
And they all are. I don't feel like there's a legal court once. One, we have... We had Orly Tates on. Some people like her, some people don't, but she was born and raised in Soviet Russia. She knows what a communist is. She knows what it is to live under that, knows what it is to go to a store and not be able to buy a loaf of bread. She came here, immigrated here, became a dentist, went to dental school, obviously, has her DDS, and then after that she went to law school and got her law degree. Orly has, just like all of us, she's not perfect, but she has been tenacious in staying after Obama just to prove who he is and ask the question. Just show us. Just identify. Why do you have a Connecticut Social Security number? Tell us why. We'll accept it. We'll move on down the street. You know, we know that he's not a natural-born citizen. He's admitted his father never had his American citizenship. He was Indonesian, Kenyan, and, you know, on and on and on. But Orly did a very good job on Monday on Officer's Oath. It's posted on our website. But she knows and she tells what it's like to live under the exact direction that we're going. Medical care is a joke. That's why she became a dentist. You know, she grew up in a joke. Unfortunately, Dr. George, I need about a 30-second comment, and then we got to get out of here.
Well, you know, we're doomed to repeat if we don't look at history, and we're going down the same path, and it's frightening. And I understand that the kids who are now in school now don't learn history. You know, I don't know what they're doing. It's just indoctrination camp. But we, or in the generation, you know, behind them or above them, we need to help each other. It's time. We need to stop hating on each other and start making a difference because we don't have a lot of time left here. We need to be one once again.
The clock is ticking in more ways than one. With that, Dr. George, as always, thank you for Medicine on Call, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. Take care.